Chapter 5, which sings the glories of Southern California and leads our hero to El Toboso. When Harvey and Mahogany awoke on the train, they found they had been joined in their compartment by a young man and a woman. The man was an American who had come to Spain at his parents' expense, and the woman was from Castilla, on her way home after a week in Seville. She sat quietly, reading a book, while Harvey listened to the young man who fiddled with the headphones of his Walkman. "Yeah," said the American, "I was in Madrid studying Spanish, and I got a couple weeks off, so I decided to scope out the country. I did a new resort on the Algarve, but it was a total bust. The condos weren't finished, and there was sand in the bay. How long you been here?"
"Only a day," replied the captain.
"Heinous, dude," said the American. "You're going to find out this place is totally bogus. There's not a spa anywhere, the showers just trickle out, and they've only got 5 channels on TV. In California, where I come from, we've got more than 40 on cable, not even counting HBO.
"Really?" said Mahogany, hiding his disgust. "Where are you going now?"
"Probably Amsterdam or Holland," said the American. "I hear they speak English, and have McDonald's, and Taco Time, and everything. Ever had a burrito supreme, dude? They're major gnarly."
By now Harvey had turned his attention to the woman, whom he recognized as the one he had seen reading in the park in Seville. She had also recognized him. It was not easy to forget such a battered, gentle-looking creature. And she was curious about the strange scars that crossed his forehead. Speaking in the classical Castilian of Valladolid, he commented on the novel in her hand. "My favorite part," said Harvey, "is the descent into the cave of Montesinos."
"So is mine," she said.
"It seems to be the central point in the discussion of fiction and reality," said Captain Harvey. "Don Quixote claims he has been in the cave for several days, while Sancho, who has remained outside, claims he was only gone an hour. The knight is accused of being a liar, but sticks firmly to his incredible story."
"Exactly," she said, "which moves the investigation of subjective reality from the material realm to the temporal. Not only are all things different for all people, but so is the experience of time."
Mahogany, fatigued with tales of the incomparable glories of Southern California, interrupted. "What are you talking about?"
"We're talking," said Harvey, switching from Spanish to English, "about Don Quixote."
"Ah, Don Quixote," said Mahogany. "I've heard of him, though I've never read the novel."
"Actually," said Harvey, "you might like the part about Dulcinea, the woman who inspires him to write poetry, perform heroic deeds, and flog himself repeatedly."
"Flog himself repeatedly?" said Mahogany.
"I got a copy in English," said the American, taking a book from his pack. "I'm supposed to do it during the break, but it's yours."
The binding cracked as Mahogany opened it to the first page.
"My Spanish is getting so heinous," said the American. "I'm going to do the original."
"How long have you been studying?" asked Harvey.
"Almost 3 months," said the American, "since I got here. But I spoke Mexican before I came. Go on, ask me something in Spanish. Tell your friend to ask me."
Harvey told the woman what the American wanted.
"¿Cómo te llamas?" she asked. "Me llamo es John," he replied without hesitation.
"¿A dónde vas?"
"Vas a Madrid," he said.
"¿De dónde eres?"
"Soy California."
"¿Te gusta España?" she asked.
"Sí, yo mucho gusto hispano más o menos," he said with pride.
Translation.
"What's your name?" "I call myself is John."
"Where are you going?"
"You go to Madrid."
"Where are you from?"
"I am California."
"Do you like Spain?"
"Yes, I very pleased Hispanic more or less."
"I think you're ready for the Quixote," said Harvey in Spanish, winking at the young lady. Just then a porter opened the door of the compartment and announced that lunch would be served in the dining car.
"Vamos a comer en un rato," he said.
"We're going to eat a rat?" cried the American.
"No," laughed Harvey. "En un rato means in a little while."
"Bogus language," said the American, putting on his headphones.
Curious to know more of Don Quixote's Dulcinea, Mahogany turned greedily to the chapter describing the knight's arrival in her hometown of El Toboso. In the meantime, Harvey laid siege to the young woman, breaching holes in the walls of her fortress. She had never met a man so intuitive, so understanding, so intellectually and spiritually compatible, and she melted under his spell. "I will begin with your wildest dreams," Harvey whispered.
"Let's go to El Toboso," cried Mahogany, looking up from the novel.
"El Toboso?" echoed Harvey.
"El Toboso," said Mahogany, "home of the incomparable Dulcinea."
Harvey turned to the woman.
"You have to get off at Alcázar de San Juan," she said, "and take a bus from there." No sooner had the words left her mouth than the train screeched to a halt at Alcázar de San Juan.
The bus station was easy to find in the small town, but only one bus a day made the trip to El Toboso. It didn't leave until 2 o'clock, so Harvey and Mahogany had a 2-hour wait. They sat under a tree and opened a bottle of wine given to them by the woman on the train.
"Sangre de Cristo, Rioja Especial," said Harvey, lifting the bottle and letting its contents splash wildly onto the back of his throat.
In no time the bottle was empty, and they stretched out and slept until they were awakened by the sound of a bus.
O Dulcinea del Toboso, fairest of the fair, sum and end of all that mankind may know in the way of beauty, you are the day of my night, glory of my woe, star of my fortune. May heaven grant thee all thou seekest, if thou smilest now upon these wanderers that knock at thy door. It was exactly 3:45, more or less, when they arrived in El Toboso.
An old widow, dressed in black and carrying 2 enormous bundles, got off with them and disappeared down a sandy, unpaved street. There was no one to be found. Not even an automobile beneath the relentless Manchegan sun. The lone sign of human life was a quotation taken from the novel Don Quixote. It was spelled out in black iron letters on the side of a whitewashed house.
Y entraron en el Toboso.
Moving toward the sign, they began to walk into town. The streets were dusty and low, sloping down in the middle, where they had been worn by the restless habit of the feet. The doors of the houses were unusually high, some having stones placed before them, creating a makeshift stairway to minimize the drop. Mahogany and Harvey walked until they came upon another sign.
Con la iglesia hemos dado, Sancho.
They continued moving through the streets, drawn by the ancient voice of the quotations, until they had made a complete circle and stood once again at the entrance to town. It had taken less than 30 minutes to complete the circle, and they had not seen or heard another living soul.
"Maybe we should return to Alcázar," said Mahogany, wandering toward the bus stop.
He noticed a small sign that pointed into the fields and said, "Venta de Don Quixote, 5 kilometros, the Inn of Don Quixote, 5 kilometers.
"Ah," waxed Harvey, "the famous inn-castle of Juan Lapice, unequalled nexus and meeting-place of wayward travelers, fallen kings, ransomed maidens, knights-errant and criminals alike, none are there denied entrance. Come, Sancho, bring my steed, our destiny awaits."
Footnote: there is no such innkeeper as Juan Lapice in the novel Don Quixote. There is, however, a town in La Mancha called Puerto Lapice. The road led off in a straight, unbroken line, bordered on each side by vineyards that fought to take root in the dry soil. There was an indescribable beauty in the land, a beauty that whispered in the wind upon the ears. It was the pure extension of the soul,
stretching beyond the bounds of intellectual comprehension, beyond the limitless gaze of horizons. It was sun, sky, and sand.
The walk took an hour, during which time Harvey and Mahogany saw two vehicles. One was a tractor that passed at about 10 miles an hour. The other was a Mercedes-Benz that screamed by at 100.
The knight and his squire would have missed the inn had they not found another sign that read, Venta de Don Quixote.
The inn was no more than a pile of stones in a field of wheat.
Come, Sancho, said Harvey, within those walls await the beautiful Princess Saida, the cunning criminal Pasamonte, and countless other men and women of incomparable fame that will place in our hands the most glorious adventures in the world.
Harvey turned to rush into the field, but his shoelaces, which had come untied during the walk, leapt up and seized his ankles, throwing him face down at the edge of the road. His nose cracked, and blood splattered on the golden sprouts that waved in the breeze. Coughing and spitting out a tooth, Harvey struggled to his feet and muttered, It's just a damn old pile of stones. And they turned back to town.